Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him up.
All right, generally, we don't go to the Waste Management Phoenix Open for football news. But we got some yesterday. Patrick Peterson, after hitting his tee shot on 16, asked for the microphone. And then he got on the microphone and he apologized for that little trade request that happened last season. And he said, "I'm here to stay, baby." You got that audio, Jared? You want to play it now? We'll play it in a minute. So Patrick Peterson telling Cardinal fans and all sports fans in the Valley, "I'm good. Sorry about that. My bad." Or Steve Wilkes is bad, as the case might be. You know what I mean?
You know what? Doesn't it have a little more power to it than him just tweeting that out randomly at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night or whatever? Like, yes. Him actually grabbing the mic impromptu and saying it to a crowd?
Oh, without a doubt.
"I just want to apologize to everybody for asking for that trade in the middle of the season. I'm here to stay, baby."
We're going to get into that. I love that story. For whatever reason, I dig in that story.
Because it's different. That's why.
It is different.
He didn't have to do that. I mean, whether you like him or not, or whether you're still upset about what happened in the middle of the season, he didn't have to do that.
No, he did not. I love this story. Item number two, the Waste Management Phoenix Open. The actual golf begins today. So the freak show, the circus, it all starts today. Yesterday, the golf tournament announced something that I think is genius. They announced that they are no longer going to announce attendance figures.
Huh.
And you say, what? Well, here's the deal. For years and years and years and years, the attendance figure has been a big point of conversation because it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years ago on a Saturday, I was there and it was the most scenic weather ever. I remember walking in about 7 o'clock in the morning and there was already people streaming into the place. And I thought, this is going to be an all-timer. That day, over 200,000 people were there for a single day of golf.
That's unreal.
So you know what happens? You get to a point where you can't keep topping absurd attendance numbers.
Yeah.
This year, the weather is supposed to get a little dicey on Saturday, so you're not going to have, it doesn't look like we're going to have one of those sublime Saturdays under the sun.
Okay.
So what I think is happening here is they realized at some point in time, the attendance is going to come back, and it's going to be a story. So let's preclude that story by saying no more attendance figures.
It's kind of smart. It's like retiring right after winning the Super Bowl, isn't it?
It's
the John Elway of golf events.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so instead of having to deal with, oh, is the tournament decreasing? Have you reached peak oil? Have you reached peak they don't have to deal with any of that. And the attendance figure, it's not an actual turnstile number anyways.
Yeah. Isn't it just somebody kind of ballparking it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like cars. But then again, now you get 15 to 20% of the people there come via Uber now.
Yeah.
And by the way, since we're talking about the Phoenix Open and you mentioned yesterday, you are in today playing hurt after a sign attacked you in the middle of the broadcast.
Yes. It was, it's really funny. It wasn't funny to experience, it's funny to watch.
Did you see the GIF that we made of it?
Yes, I did. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought
I haven't seen this.
Oh, you have not seen it.
I feel like I'm learning so much as the show goes on.
I just retweeted it from the show.
Okay. Yeah, Vinny and I were broadcasting, and we could not have had a better location because as it is now, everybody who goes to the Waste Management Phoenix Open early, they just head right to number 16. It's like you're walking to Mecca.
Yeah.
And so everybody, it's like this gravitational pull to number 16. So everybody in the world walked right by us yesterday. And so we're sitting there outside and these two big banners that say Arizona Sports 98.7 FM, one of them just blew over right on my head. And Vinny had a real, real smart alecky response. He said, "Yeah, good thing it hit your helmet."
And look at him now.
Hey, see? Somebody pointed out online, maybe Vince got pink eye because he forgot his sunglasses and he borrowed other people's sunglasses yesterday.
Oh, aha! Aha! He did. And you know what was so funny about that? I'm going to pull back the curtain entirely. Vinny wasn't feeling comfortable in his own... Vinny doesn't always feel comfortable in his own skin. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I don't think you're pulling back the curtain right now.
But yesterday, before the show started, he had no sunglasses. And we're like right in the sun. And he's like, he's squinting and he's just like, not a good play. So he tried on two different pair of sunglasses that people had given him.
Okay.
And you know how that goes. You don't know what you look like when you're putting on random sunglasses. Yeah. And there's no mirror there for him to check.
Yeah.
So he's kind of got that look like, do I look all right? And one of the pair of sunglasses looked positively goofy on him, but I didn't want to say it at the time. That might be how he got pink eye.
We're going to get to the bottom of this, even if it just takes internet doctors and us speculating for the next 4 hours.
Item number three, the Phoenix Suns have a lot of off days until their next basketball game. I suppose that's good if they actually get better in practice and things like that. James Jones had some interesting comments about what's going on in terms of Anthony Davis and is he involved. One of the things that he said is that he is not remotely involved in trying to facilitate a three-team trade. And it's one of those things where you hear it and you go, does anybody over there know how to improve a basketball team? Does anybody know how to get involved in trades? When you look at the Kelly Oubre Jr. trade, and James Jones has gotten a lot of credit for that trade, particularly from Gambo.
It was an accident.
It was an accident. And it happened because they weren't even involved in conversations during a three-team trade. Now, that botched trade wasn't necessarily their fault. But generally, when you're a team and you're making a trade, you don't let another team talk on your behalf.
So maybe they know what they're doing. Maybe they're like, last time we didn't get involved in this three-team trade and it got us Kelly Oubre Jr. So we're just going to sit this one out and see if we land
but,
a point guard.
Right. And I've heard of people over there wondering, do we even have people here who know how to make a trade? Because they've blown out everybody.
I was talking about this yesterday. How do you not have... I understand this isn't completely James Jones' fault because he got here right before the season started. In terms of actually being the GM.
Yeah.
But how do you not have a point guard as an NBA team? Isn't that like, that's negligent halfway through the season.
I'm so angry with this basketball team. You have no idea. I cannot even control myself anymore. Super Bowl week continues in Atlanta. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, his press conference yesterday. The fallout of that continues in a lot of different ways. Number one, Roger Goodell claims that he spoke to people in New Orleans. But there are people saying he didn't talk to anybody. So now you got people wondering if the commissioner's a liar.
Well, if we can't trust Roger Goodell, who can we trust?
That's, yeah.
I think I'll take the side of random people in New Orleans I've never met.
Yeah. And then there are people like, all right, well, what does New Orleans want? To let it go already.
I don't think you get over that. In a week and a half.
I think you're right.
I mean, especially if the Rams... What's worse, if the Rams win the Super Bowl and you know you should have beat them, or if they just go out there and get obliterated?
We're going to get into this because there was a piece in the New York Times today by Frank Bruni, who is he's like a political columnist, good writer, real good worldview. He wrote a piece saying that what's happening in the NFL with the commissioner and with this game in New Orleans, it's kind of like continuing this national narrative that starts in government that everything is fraudulent, that all our big ticket institutions are fraudulent, and that includes the NFL. And as a result, that call and the way the NFL has reacted to it is kind of really marginalizing this Super Bowl and people, and it's eroding people's trust in the whole process. It's a big, heavy thought,
yeah.
And we're not getting political on this program. I refuse to do that, right, Jarrett? We're not
to listen to the palaver.
Uh-huh. But it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought. Could football be viewed as fraudulent based on the workings of the higher-ups in charge?
See, it just looks like it is horribly officiated, and they are... Like, when you say you don't trust the process, I don't know how you can trust the process when we're all watching in real time a missed call that's going to determine who's going to the Super Bowl. We're all watching it in real time. We all know it's the wrong call, and they don't have a simple rule in place to step in and fix it before the next play.
Right.
I mean, I understand you can't go back and replay the game now. I get that.
Yeah.
But you could have fixed it two Sundays ago as it was happening, and you just didn't.
Yeah.
Self-implemented rule.
There you go. You could have fixed it in real time. That's a great, great point. All right, finally, tonight, do we call this the duel in the desert like you do at the football game? ASU Arizona in basketball in Tempe, really big game for the Sun Devils for so many reasons, most of them having to do with credibility.
Yeah. You can't go out there and do against U of A what you did last year when you were 12-0 and you were the last undefeated team, and Then you go out there and you were never, I mean, you were in that game, I guess, but it never really felt like ASU was going to win it, and they were never the same after it. I mean, it's a different team. Obviously, yep. U of A is a different team. U of A is not nearly as good this year as they were last year, but you at least have to. ASU's favored, aren't they?
They should be.
I think U of A is not good at all this year. Forget not as good. They're not good at all.
Yeah, but
they've lost by 20 or more points two games in a row for the first time in 35 years.
Is that right? I had not
Since
seen that stat
Lute
before.
Olsen.
Holy smokes. They did hit a wall. There's no doubt about it. And I think that wall was just, they're not that good. And that is why there's so much pressure on ASU to handle them tonight.
Yeah, and that's why I don't feel great about this game.
That's the problem. That's what is like the backdrop to this entire game.
I'm going to the game, and they always lose in Tempe when I go to the game.
Who is they?
Who's they?
U of A.
Okay, good.
Okay.
You should go to all those games.
All right, we'll get into that later. Those are your items in the Splash.